money could buy.
It's your favorite song, right, Dirk?
Why Dirk looks so excited?
What's that picture on that Twitter?
That's a Lego man called Jedi Bob.
All right, it's 1:52. It's the Bob and Dan radio program with Donovan.
For freedom till the search goes on.
Groups is like your soulmate. Joining us here is Dirk at the table.
How we doing?
At the American Airlines Center. Of course, Groups is playing some David Hasselhoff for you.
That's sweet.
He's got a good memory.
And I'll just follow Bob and Dan on Twitter.
Dude, you're going to get Mark. You're going to get so much.
Now you got 200 followers. All right.
Are you a Twitterer or just a follower?
No, I Twitter a little bit here and there. I haven't tweeted in a couple days, but I'll probably hammer one out. Of course, you better.
Have you ever followed Dirk before?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was pretty excited to have more followers than him for a little while.
For the first day?
First 20 minutes or so. Now he's got like 32,000. I'll never catch him.
Yeah, but that's not fair. He's got two countries to pull from.
But he'll never catch Shaq at this rate.
No.
You have to step it up a little bit
I know. I got to be a little more funny on there.
So, how's life, man? You got a little cut last night, huh?
Can't complain. Got a little cut. Got a little poke in the eye.
Yeah.
You know, when things are not going too well, it's, you know, when the rain pours. So, no, can't complain. No, knee's better. So, that's the main thing. I just got to work myself back in shape.
Okay, so it's better, you say?
Great. It's actually really responded well, you know. Probably came back a little too early, but... the losing streak there didn't help, and then but it's responded really good to the games. So just got to get my legs under me and keep working, do a little extra stuff after practice. And it's a good home stand here, I think, where we play every other day, and we got a day in between to do some other stuff. So hopefully by the end of the week, it should be great.
How are those lungs?
Yeah, they burned a little bit. You know, I actually did a lot of cardio those 3 weeks I was out. I ran the pool on our treadmill. I rode the bike, but there's nothing like running the games, guys leaning on you, pushing you, and there's nothing you can simulate it with. So the first couple of games were rough, and it's still been pretty rough, so I got to find a way to get my rhythm back.
I couldn't believe, we've been here your whole career. In fact, I think we kind of arrived in town about a month apart, and your entry was a little more memorable. But anyway, I say all that to say it was kind of interesting to see how long you were away this time and how that was far and away your longest absence from the team in all those years. Because, you know, let's be honest, if we follow you, we know a rolled ankle's kind of part of the bit. And looking back, I would have thought there might have been a 2 week absence at some point along the way, but you've stayed pretty darn healthy.
Yeah, I was lucky there, you know. And if it would have been a rolled ankle, I probably would have come back that same night. So just knee injuries are a little tricky, and I never really had many in my career, so I was really lucky. And, you know, it was just an unfortunate thing, but I'm glad it's over now. We can work towards being a good team again.
You think that Blake Griffin's a badass?
Oof. He's going to be something special. I heard somebody comparing last night to Karl Malone, and he almost looks like him. I mean, he jumps out of the gym. He's working on his shot. You can't just give him their shots anymore, and he's something special. He can drive both ways. He spins. He's athletic. So he's going to be fun to watch for a long, long time. So yeah, it was amazing. Some of the dunks he already had this year, I mean, they're just amazing.
All right, you tired of us talking about things that you get asked about all the time? Do you want us to head into our...
We can spice it up later a little bit.
Our annual tradition of heading off the road. Here's what I want to do.
Oh, God.
I want to find out...
Can we just strictly straight up basketball once? No?
Do you want to stick to basketball?
It doesn't matter. Whatever you guys want to know, I'm here.
We're here to make
What's
you
What's your
happy.
Favorite shot, the two-pointer or the three-pointer? What do you like better?
I like the three because it counts more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But... Sometimes I like a tough two when you fight for it, and I like that too, but a three-pointer counts one point. One more point.
One more point. Yeah. Okay.
And now the money ball in the three-point contest is even an extra point.
That counts too.
Absolutely.
Do you think that at half court they should give you four?
They should.
Like, wouldn't that be a fun way to come back? If you're down by 20 and there's 2 minutes left, you just stop at half court and shoot.
I agree. Actually, we talked about that for a bunch of years, that if you make a shot from that far off, it should count more than just a regular three.
But maybe even we go back to the other three-point line and you get five, and then you're just launching. You're down by 30. You're just throwing full-court shots. Wouldn't that be fun?
Mazman style and just...
I mean, you wouldn't... Would you tune out of a team that's down by 30? Like the Cavs are playing the Lakers.
No, it would be hilarious. It would be hook shots on the other end.
Right.
That would be sweet to watch.
Now, when you say we've talked about that for
years.
Here
we are talking basketball.
I don't know who he is.
No, like in Germany. You know, my coach is so far out there. He's somewhere a genius, but somewhere just completely out there, too. So he always had different ideas. You know, back in the days, or a couple years ago, the league was struggling with points, and they were talking about some stuff, making the ball smaller, and he had ideas of making the rim bigger. And so we always talk weird stuff about basketball, and that definitely came up, the four-point shot. And I agree. If you can make one from that far back, it should count more than the regular three.
The great Holger works his way back into another conversation.
Holger, the genius, Holger, but also so far out there.
Add some peyote, and now you got,
you know, sometimes
crazy
he,
ideas.
He, sometimes he still talks to me, and I'm like, yeah, sure. And I have no idea what he's talking about. So, and I've been with him for like 15, 16 years now. He still amazes me sometimes.
Okay, now that's what I wanted to get to here, is young Dirk growing up. We talk to hockey guys all the time. And they tell us these crazy stories on how they had to leave home, like at 14, to pursue their careers. Because in the States, you stay home till you're 18, unless you're like some tennis prodigy or something. And, you know, you can work from home and still get done what you want to get done. What was your situation? Did you ever have to leave home at a young age to pursue your dreams?
No, I was lucky. We had a decent pro team in my hometown. So I was able to practice with them when I was like 14, 15. I already started to work out with them once a week, I think at night. Then when I was 16, I started two or three times a night. So I never really left my hometown until I came here, until I was 20. So I lived at home the whole time. I finished high school too, and then I was 18. We talk about the Army, my Army stint before?
I think so.
Yeah, so that was...
I don't remember.
Boy, but it's been several years.
Yeah, so...
How old are you?
I was that? Right out of high school, so I was about 18 and a half, 19 almost, I guess. So everybody back in the days had to either join the Army for 10 months or do like a civil service for 12 months, and I decided to join the Army because I didn't want to work in a hospital or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of sick people.
Yeah, so... I did the Army, but I was lucky. I only had to do 2 months of basic training, and then the other 8 months I was in a sports group, sports company, and we didn't really have to show up much, and we were able to stay home and train. But the first 2 months were something else. I mean,
see it,
you know, I mean, you had a guy who's like 5 foot yelling in your face like the whole day, and you know, I learned how to shoot and how to put your gun together and how to march for kilometers outside and freezing. We actually camped outside for 2 nights. The tent was too short. My legs were sticking out of the tent. It was such a circus. I can't even
explain. Wow. Do we have photos of that?
I think actually...
Those would be more popular than that one with you and the girls.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But actually, the first 2 weeks, they didn't have my suit that I was supposed to wear. You know, that. So I had a sweatsuit on.
Why? Because it wouldn't fit.
So everyone
other one wouldn't fit. They were making me one. They measured one and then made me my own suit. So the first 2 weeks it wasn't there yet. So I was marching in front of the whole company, lurch with like 7 feet with my own sweatsuit on, and the whole company had their other suit on, and everybody that walked by was just shaking their heads and was just laughing, and I felt like the biggest dork ever.
They didn't have Army issue stuff.
They didn't have Army issue stuff until they made it, and 2 weeks later it finally showed up, and then I was ready. It was something else.
Fascinating. Okay, yeah. So in Europe, you can turn pro at such an early age, right? So you basically did that at like 16?
Yeah, at 16, I joined the club. Well, we didn't have an all-pro team. We had like a mixed team. So we had some pros. We had, I think, one or two Americans, some pros from Germany. And then we also had like semi-pros. Like I was in school. Some other guys were in school. We had some students. One guy was a farmer. who's actually visiting me right now as we speak. He's in town. We still keep contact, and I see him a lot over the summer, so he's in town. He's like this 7-foot farmer.
Really?
Yeah, so sometimes in the summer when we didn't feel like practicing, Holger, obviously the genius, told us, yeah, today we're going out there, farmer, and we're baling hay. So we were out there, like, the whole team. I was, like, shoveling the hay around his farm. So, yeah, it was a circus.
So he was. So this 7-footer is not really a fast twitch guy you might find in the NBA.
Oh, my God. He's even slower twitch than me.
All right. The great Dirk is with us. So at 16, do you feel like you're one of the best players in the gym at that time already?
Not at all, you know. For some reason, I was okay, but I was a talent. Everybody saw the talent, but I don't think I was the best player there. Yeah. Then I started to get 18, 19. We actually moved up because we were only in the second division. So my last year there, we moved up in the first division. And then I was lucky. We had the lockout that year, and I was still able to play because I didn't sign a contract here yet. So I was able to play and stay there, stay fit, and then in January, one day I looked on the TV screen. It said NBA season saved. So 3 days later I had to come over and show up out of the blue.
Okay, so you're in the top division in Germany.
My last year, yes.
Okay, did you guys win?
We were kind of in between.
And what was your standing in the league? Were you leading scorer in the league?
I was up there, but I only averaged like maybe 17 a game. I mean, in Europe, the game, first of all, is only 40 minutes, so it's less time. And then the court is smaller, everything's clogged, so the scoring is not as high. Like we used to have like 70 points, 60 points all the time. So,
and did you consider Spain, Italy? I always wonder about the decision, and maybe we talked with you about this another time, about like Landon Donovan going to Europe to play soccer as opposed to he wants to stay close to L.A. and stay where it's his home. He doesn't want to travel the world for sport. You are quite the opposite, but certainly you had to go through a decision process and maybe think, well, do I really want to go over to Dallas? What's Dallas and that whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of stuck in between. I visited a couple European teams that were good. I was in Milan and Barcelona, and some other teams wanted me, and I did some visiting there, and I really loved it. And my parents actually wanted me to stay closer. You know, it's only like 2-hour flight to Italy or something. So they wanted me to stick around a little closer until I'm ready. So I decided to do the big jump, and here I am. So looking back at it now, it was the right decision. Back then, I wasn't quite sure because it was such a huge step. But now I'm glad I did it early. I had to adjust to some things, but I think it's better to go through it when you're 20 than when you play over there and you come over 25, 26, and then you're a rookie being treated like a rookie. I think that's sometimes harder, so I'm glad I did it once I was young and get it out of the way.
Do any of the kids these days from over there seek you out, like the Ricky Rubio or any of those guys? Do they say, tell me, you know, because they're going through the same thing. Do I stay there for a while? Do I go?
Not really.
Okay.
No, they don't ask.
You're not the godfather that they come
not
and
really,
reach out
not,
to.
Not really.
You need a little more respect.
Was that the dream as a kid? Because now these days you see the kids saying, even at a really, really early age, my dream is to play in the NBA. Was that yours when you're 12, 13?
Well, you know, I was a big fan. I don't really know if I ever thought I could play there, but you know, when I was 13, 14, I knew every NBA player. I got up in the middle of the night to watch All-Star games and the final games. They were being live broadcasted, so I did that. But I don't know if I ever thought I had a shot to play in this league.
Were you being so? You say you met with different people. Was it like recruiting? Were there colleges after you?
Yeah.
Was it Donnie Nelson?
God, like every morning my mom had a, what is it called, like a tape recorder for the phone?
Answering machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the word I was looking for. We had one installed just for the colleges because they would call in the middle of the night. They didn't know about the time difference. So we get up in the middle of the night and there were like some colleges calling. So, and they sent like 85 letters a day. So it was.
Had you picked one?
I actually visited some. I visited Kentucky. I had dinner with Coach Toby Smith back in the days. And I really liked that. I mean, the dorm they had just for the players and stuff, that was almost like professional already. It was unbelievable. I visited Cal. I was out there because I knew the coaches. I visited Stanford. I don't know if I would have gotten into that, though. I think my SAT was like 200 or something. I don't know if I would have made it. So, yeah, I visited some college. It was interesting, but just decided to go pro then. Really, on a short notice, me and Holger sat together with Nelly and said, all right, let's try it, man. I can always go back to Europe. If my rookie year don't go well or the second year, you know, I can always go back. That's always a possibility. So that's what was the thinking behind that.
So was it more Donnie or Big Nelly
that would be over there? Donnie and Nelly actually flew over when I got drafted, and they stayed in a hotel, and we had a good time with my parents and Holger, and then I came here, and I stayed at Nelly's house, me and Holger, and one night before I flew back, we had to decide, so we sat at the pool that night. Nelly had a barbecue for me, and Steve showed up, and Finn, some of the players showed up, Smokey Walker back in the days. Talked to them, and they were really nice. They said, hey, you know, once you come, I think we're a young team right now, and there's really not a lot of pressure going on right now. We're not even in the playoffs, probably. So you can come over, develop, and hopefully develop into a playoff team, and that's exactly what happened in my first year. You know, we lost. My second year, we lost. And then once we got better and better, we started being a playoff team, so it ended up being perfect.
So when you were in this offseason, and LeBron is making his decision, and you were really a free agent. Was there any possibility in the world that you would have left here?
I mean, it would have been only for an unbelievable, perfect situation, really. But
like you weren't looking for one.
No, not really.
Did anybody reach out to you?
Not really. Nothing that is really worth mentioning. So, I mean, this is where.
Like,
where
what if LeBron called you and said, "We're gonna get rid of Bosch, and we need you."
That's tough.
In Miami.
That's a tough question.
Did you watch that? The LeBron decision?
At that point, I was already back home because I had to go back home for some commercial stuff in Germany. So I didn't see it that night because I had some filming and then I missed it. I did watch parts of it on online, though. And so I missed that whole spiel there.
Okay, this is leading me to another question I've always wanted to know, and no one else will ask you.
Always,
so it's up to us. Well, not always. But when you always speak of returning home, in my mind's eye, I have Dirk going back to mom and dad's house and back into the bedroom with Oliver Kahn on the closet door and Michael Schumacher, no doubt. So do you have your own house? Or do you actually stay with your family?
I actually stay with my family. I do not have a house.
Is this the same house that was there when you left?
My parents still live in the same house, and I still have the same room. I have a room in the basement. And people still, when they come visit me over the summer, they can't believe that I live in that little basement room with like posters from like 92. So, yeah, I stay in that room. But my sister has a really nice house. That we didn't have back in the days, but she lives there with two kids, and just it's too noisy in the mornings. So,
do you believe this?
Yeah, aren't you supposed to buy your parents a big mansion?
Actually, they have a nice little setup. You know, we have our own painting company, and so my dad's mom had two houses, and she passed away a couple years ago, and so my dad actually has one, has the company and the house, and his sister has another house, so we're hooked up. I
mean. Okay.
But you don't have some Sound of Music villa or anything like that?
My sister
doesn't. Alps.
No, my in the Alps. No, my sister does have a nice house, but that's about it.
You know, you have means.
I have beans?
No, means. You are a man of tremendous means. You could pretty much probably roll into Monte Carlo if you wanted to. I mean,
I don't know. You know,
you don't spend it like Marquise Daniels seems to spend.
I don't ever look at myself as this big celebrity. You know, I still see myself as the guy from Würzburg. I just
can you get around town without can you go out here or there easier? Like, you'll probably be mobbed if you walk around Dallas here, right?
You know what? I haven't been in a mall here in probably 10 years.
Because it would be
a beating. Too many people. But I can still go around. I mean, I go eat. I mean, I go eat.
Might we just see you filling your car with gas or something in
Germany?
Yeah,
you might roll into me, filling some gas.
Just doing normal human stuff.
In, like, exactly. The road greens.
But I imagine if you did that here, he's wearing his uniform.
Yeah.
Why are you recognizing me? I don't know. I don't understand it.
Do you speak full German when you're there?
Yeah.
These are maybe dumb questions, but...
No, here, I all summer, basically, I only speak German, and then when I come back, I feel like my English is rusty. And the other way around, I'm here for 8 months, and I come over in the summer, and my mom's like, oh, don't talk like Detlef Schrempf. And I was like, what? Because he was here so long that he was like, oh, what's the word in German?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she's like, don't.
She doesn't want you to lose your heritage or whatever.
I just love
that. Do you start learning
your mom
English?
References Detlef Schrempf. That's awesome.
Yeah,
my mom doesn't know who Detlef Schrempf is.
Not at all.
Do you, when you're there, do you learn English from the get-go, like right from kindergarten?
I started in high school when I was 10, so middle school or whatever you call it here. We have a little different system over there, but so we do kindergarten 6 to 10, then it's middle school or whatever, and then I started English. I had English all the way up to the 13th grade, so I had it for like 8 years.
Do you dream in German?
Now?
Yeah.
Or back then it was all German. Now it's some English mixed in for sure. I've been here for 13 years,
yeah.
12 years.
I know, but
it's cool.
Like,
you never know what you're going to get.
It's always like the Swiss Miss is in there. And just.
Well, that's very stereotypical, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with the Swiss Miss, huh?
I don't know.
Nothing, right?
Nothing.
All right, I got another.
All be American girls?
I have another serious question that may be a touchy question, but maybe not. I thought of this because I'm reading Googled. It's a book about the rise of Google, and they talk about they really don't censor anything with Google, except they do answer to two governments. One is China, and they won't put any Tiananmen Square stuff. If you're on Google China, you can't find any of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And if you're in Germany, you really can't find Nazi stuff. And that's government issued. And I think about how we grew up, and Donovan, you had different... You've talked about how you were taught differently in school, like about slavery.
Sure.
We kind of brushed upon it. You know, in my school, it kind of happened, but don't really worry about it. Not a big deal.
I might spend an hour on it.
Hitler and the Nazis and all that kind of stuff, how is that approached in school? Or do they even...
Yeah, no.
Do they kind of brush by it? Like,
a little bit. A little embarrassed by the whole thing?
Or?
Yeah, obviously we are, but no, we got into it a little more than just brushed on it, but more than went through the whole events that did happen, and so the dates of the whole thing, and but it's mostly, you don't really want to talk about it that much, especially now anymore. And
like, it's weird that it's our, you know, we obviously we learned everything about it, but if it's your history, you're kind of like, you try to make your history in the positive light, right?
Like, I don't think anything you can do there.
It's tough. It's
like, do you take field trips to land? I mean, there's history all over Germany. Would you go to historical places from various wars and things like that as a kid? Would they load you up in the bus they take us to the zoo? Is that what it was for you guys?
We did the zoo, too, actually.
Okay. All right, the Würzburg Zoo? How's that?
We don't even have a good one, but we go to Nuremberg Zoo, but no. We didn't really do any war memorials or anything like that growing up, no.
Fascinating. Is it interesting to talk about, or is it something that...
Is it a thing of tension? Like, you...
I don't talk about it much.
Don't bring up Hitler to me.
Yeah, no.
It's just our...
You know, sometimes it happens on the road in arenas. Somebody throws in a Nazi here and there, which is...
Really?
Yeah. I heard it before on the road.
How often would this happen? Like, does
not that many times, but I've heard it a couple of times.
Really?
Now, yeah.
Was it more prevalent when you first came into the league, or now they don't even worry about it, right?
I still get it. I think I got one last year, if I remember correctly. So it's still here and there. I mean, on the road, you hear so much dumb stuff. So.
And do you look back at him? I mean,
it's hard to find a guy within whatever 15,000 people, but
I know. Well, for instance, there are words that we know in the NBA that may cause a player to either call security or go into the crowd themselves, because that's a word you don't say to me. I know you're not that type of guy, But
they all begin with N, though, huh?
But they all seem to begin with, yeah, interestingly enough. But it's quite memorable to you.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I mean, you get a lot of heckling on the road, but that's definitely one that I remember, and that goes a little
that
deeper.
That one crosses
yeah,
the line.
Yeah, that one goes a little deeper than whatever. You're terrible. You can't win a ring.
Yeah.
I mean, you get that everywhere, but that one goes a little deeper than that.
Wow, I really feel like we've covered new ground this year.
Really?
Let me ask you this, and this is now a cliche question again, but I really do want to know the answer. How long do you think you can play?
I don't know, you know.
Because I swear, and it may sound like I'm kissing up to you, but I wouldn't do that. You know that, right?
Yeah,
I would shoot straight with you. I swear your game this year, and obviously since Oklahoma City, we got to get you right totally, but the way you came out of the gates this season, it's like this rumor that you're about your prime is coming to a close. I don't see it out there. I don't see it on the court. I think age is a number, and I'm kind of curious how long you can fight that off.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think first last 2 years here and there, you know, you have tweaks a little bit, and when you get up in the morning, which you haven't had in like whenever 10 years ago. But I still feel good out there. I'm a little lighter than I used to be, actually, in my 20s, which helps moving-wise. You know, when your knees and everything take a little less pounding if you're not as heavy. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel good. You know, I signed for 4 more years, and then I'll just take it year by year after that. By then, I'm 36, and if I still feel I can play on a high level, and mostly is it still fun, or do I get up in the morning and say I got to do my job? Then I'd rather go home and stay home. But if it's still fun and I still want to compete, then we'll see how long it goes.
What do you think you would do?
I mean, look at Kid. He's amazing. He's 38 now or whatever he turns. Nashi is still at a high level, 37. So, man, I just
all right. But let's say you're 37 or 38. You've got your every last penny you've ever made still in the bank. You've got your whole life ahead of you. What the heck are you going to do?
That is a good question, actually. Started talking and thinking about stuff, you know, like 6-7 years ago. I would have never thought about anything like that. So, you know, really basketball is my life and was always my life. So I think I'm going to stick around basketball. I don't really know what function yet. But
would you try to broadcast? Your broadcast debut was phenomenal a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can't, probably can't scream as much.
Yeah.
But that was good.
It's fun for maybe here and there, but every night.
You don't want to sit next to Coop all year.
Yeah, with Cooperstein, that's a beating.
But you said go home. What do you think you would beating. Go back to Germany when you're done?
I think I lived my way out of Würzburg a little bit. It's a small town. I don't know.
What's the big city of that all the kids dream of going to over there? Berlin?
Berlin is nice. Munich's actually closer to me, which is really nice. And we got some. And the Alps are close in Munich. You can go skiing within like 2-hour drive.
Sure.
You're in the Alps. You know, and you know, there are beautiful lakes down there. The only thing is the weather in Germany is a beating. It's so cold in the winter. The summer is not as great. So I think I'll see myself more on a beach somewhere.
There you go.
All right, so now I got one more thing.
Sweet.
Maybe two more things, but it deals with the basketball hypothetical.
Oh.
So Bob lives in a meager hut. It's about 3,000 square feet in Louisville. Okay?
Okay.
We know where you live.
It's very nice.
We've been to your house.
All right.
Because you live. Right, you live in Groove's old house, but we've been there. So it's a you could fit. It's like the old Cowboy Stadium to the new one. You could fit Bob's house in yours, a couple of Bob's houses in yours,
maybe three.
Right. So like here's the hypothetical:
5,000 groups could fit in there.
You play Bob 1-on-1. All right. If you lose, you would have to switch homes with Bob, and you'd have to live there for the rest of your career in Dallas in this meager 3,000-foot hut. In Louisville. But if you win, if you win, Bob cuts your lawn all summer long. Every week, he'll go do that, push mower. You got a fairly, an acre, couple?
Yeah, acre.
Okay.
And he has to grow his hair out also.
And he has to grow his hair out. He's bald, and that's something he really fears.
Right.
He doesn't want to look like the guy with the hair, the ring.
The guy from Lethal Weapon, who was...
It's a game to 15
Mel Gibson.
by ones. And we have set the over-under at 2 for how much Bob could score.
I thought it was 2.5.
Like, we give him 13 to start the game. But it's a game of 15 by 1.
And it's not make
so
it take it.
It's not.
No, it's not make
Do you
it take
feel
it. He's going to get 15 possessions if you have to get to 15.
And I can just kind of back
See,
him
I
down.
Figured he might
take him down
run back to that half-court shot and throw one a couple of times, maybe make one or two. But
did you play college ball?
Scout team. I didn't even – no, I didn't make – I wasn't on a team.
Ace.
Oh, wow.
He wanted to play college ball, but he
– really wanted to. But
was not able to because of lack of
I couldn't even
ability
guard,
or
– I couldn't even guard the white guys. Seriously.
So now your house depends on it, and you have to go all out.
I mean, 13 is a lot, man. Two and not make it take it?
Not make it take
so
it.
So make it take it, you do it.
Yeah, oh,
you'd
all
be
day,
it.
All day.
Okay.
Not make it take it, since defense is not really my specialty. I probably couldn't even guard him.
Okay, now that's ridiculous.
So
that's ridiculous.
I mean, make it take it, we'll do the bet right now, right here. Not make it take it, I got to think about it a little bit.
Would you do it?
What, for a chance to trade houses? And all I have to do is mow his lawn? I feel like the stakes are much better for me than for him.
Dude, you haven't mowed a lawn since you were 16,
yeah,
right?
But he does. The point is...
An acre of a push
mower. How long
have
you been bald?
Oh, 22 or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now, boy,
right,
take
well,
the same...
So that's worse than mowing the lawn?
Growing my hair out?
Yeah.
Like on the sides and just have it long, but nothing up top?
Yeah, he'll look like Ron Washington. A white Ron Washington.
Oh, wow.
How about all of this, since Dirk has to live in your house till the end of his career at least, then you have to do your penalty to the end of your career?
No.
Or his career.
No.
Sorry, just Dirk's career.
I don't feel like Dirk has any trouble getting his lawn mowed, and I doubt he does it. Those shoes are really white. He's not mowing his lawn.
No, I really don't.
Do they give you new shoes every game?
No.
I always heard that about Jordan. He had a new pair of shoes
every
game.
Yeah, I heard that too, but I actually don't like brand new shoes. I like them worn in a little bit, so I'll wear them for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
For 5-6 games, and then I'll switch them.
Dirk, you're the king, man. It's
man,
always
it
nice.
That's it.
Well,
right.
I don't know. He wants to keep going?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys got a commercial break?
Yeah. You know how it is.
They're optional.
When are you going to cut your hair? Or how long do you plan to grow it this time?
Let's go back to why did you cut your hair, and I don't want to hear the cop-out.
I love when he cuts his hair. It's
no,
awesome.
He had awesome long hair this season. When the season started,
but
that was
you do this once a year. You just
but,
show up
you know,
out of the blue with a buzz.
It gets so annoying with the long hair. Showering twice, 3 times a day after every workout, washing them, and then they're wet. I never blow-dry my hair. So I go out wet. It starts getting cold on the East Coast, and it's a pain. So
it was pretty awesome, though, right?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Like World
my
Cup.
Mom hates it so much.
The long hair?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was like World Cup goal scorer hair. That's. And by the way, now that you're following me on Twitter, you're going to enjoy my European soccer tweets.
Yeah.
You'll be the one.
Who
person.
You like?
I'm a Liverpool guy.
Oh, they are terrible this
Well,
year.
They're terrible, but we're going to...
Oh, no.
We got the team back from Hicks. We're okay
him,
now.
We got him out of hell. Yeah, that's a good thing. No, they're not doing it. I like Steven Gerrard, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like him.
Absolutely. But, and Torres. I mean, there's a few things there.
You know, Torres was a lot better like 2 years ago, and then he got hurt, and he never really got back into it.
I know.
Yeah.
Our squad is pretty weak. Who's your club?
I like soccer. I don't really follow a club. I mean, Germany, Bayern Munich is the best team. And,
sure.
You know, everybody likes them, but...
Did you play a lot when you were a kid?
I mean, you can't get around it growing up there, but I was never really good at it. Sometimes they stuck me in a goal because I'm so tall. You got long arms, bad feet, just get in the goal.
Have you seen soccer's popularity grow over here and during your career? Because now you go into a Mavs locker room and I mean Folwell's talk. I don't know how many
you
players
know, Steine,
are into it.
Steine is the biggest.
Mark Stein, way into it.
Yeah, he's
Manchester
like,
City.
Yeah, when they lose on the weekend, you don't talk to him. He's that kind of freaking. And Folwell is kind of funny how he's like, I was like, why are you an Arsenal fan? He's like, well, their biggest rival are the Spurs, and it reminds me of the Mavericks, so I like Arsenal. I'm like, come on. That doesn't
is that
really,
weak?
That doesn't really make sense.
What was Steve Nash's dad played for Tottenham?
Yeah, I think. No, that's where they grew up in Tottenham. I don't know if his dad actually played there or not.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a huge Hotspurs fan.
All right, well,
I'll
keep him coming.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Good times.
Thanks for having me.
See you next year.
Yes.
You're a good man.
Nice tie, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dirk.
Thank you
the
very
great
much.
Dirk.
Nice sweatshirt.
All right, 226 on the ticket.
KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth, a Cumulus station.
Hey, all you sports fans, sports predictors, and scribes.
Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
This is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket, Dallas-Fort Worth's first and best all-sports radio station. Working on 18 years with a bunch of goofball guys talking sports and all that implies on our little AM transmitter. Welcome to our town and to our station. It's not much, but we like it okay, and our mom listens a lot too. So, as you get ready for Super Bowl XLV, spread a lot of that money around, and remember to tune us in, turn it up, and keep it on. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Y'all.
Heard also on 99.5 HD2.
Hello, everyone. It's Donovan here, and I'm here to tell you about Silverleaf Debt